It's so nice to be with you, folks. So nice to be here. So nice to be here with Tom and Debbie and my wife, Joanne. I have to coax her a little bit to come with me on meetings because I usually end up embarrassing her sooner or later. And by the way, did you get a copy of the handout? If you didn't get a copy, just put your hand up if you would. You need a copy. Ben, somebody else, maybe help pass those out. Only four or five lines. I'm kind of customarily I give a handout. I figure everybody's looking for a handout, you know, and so I leave some blank some blank lines so you can fill them in. But don't fill them in ahead of me, okay? You know my messages are pretty simple, and usually you could go ahead and fill them all in. But I want you to just take this and some things I want to share with you this morning. I don't even know where to start in the beginning here, but it's amazing how the Lord puts things together for us. Ben, I really appreciate it. I don't know whether you're the one who picks out the opening hymns or not for the services, but I couldn't help but think that last night at the concert when Nathan was playing, he ended the concert with a hymn that the guys have consented to using at the end of the message tomorrow morning worship service because it just so very fitting. And Nathan very graciously is going to play that, and Ben's going to lead it, and I'll let them do it however they want. But this morning when I was just sitting here now before coming to the platform, and I hadn't sent any particular detailed description of messages I was going to give, because I was in the process of really prayer and trying to discern, Lord, what do you want me to share at this conference? And I gave them an idea, be something on the Christian life, you know, something from the Bible. It was a little general, but when Ben led the hymn this morning, just now on 661, O church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ, our captain. Wow, that couldn't be. That's the first point of my message, really. And so thank the Lord. The Lord puts things together. But this morning, I must tell you this so you get the true story, because if my son-in-law tells it, he'll embellish it a little, elaborate it. And so I want you to get the true story of what happened. I went and fixed myself a cup of coffee, and it was a little low, and I like a full cup, so I finished it with hot water, came over to the table, sat down, and I hit it with my hand, dumped it all over the table. Full cup of coffee. Well, a couple of things I lament about that. One is I got a little tiny spot on Tom's jacket, so I know I'll get a cleaning bill for that, probably. But the other thing that was amazing was a guy that, just out of the blue, must be an angel. I don't see him around here this morning. Where's Mr. Coffee? Well, Mr. Coffee, where's Mr. Coffee? Current Coffee? Oh. Wow, I thought for a minute it was an angel that came to my table this morning. But he was right there, right there at the moment. He had a big ball of paper towels. I don't know where he came up with them so quick. Maybe he just looked at me and said, this guy looks like a slob. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready for him. So he was right there, and he said, no, my name is Mr. Coffee, and I can take care of this. I do this all the time, he said. So I kind of liked him right off at first, but then he said something at the end of his time cleaning that up. He just looked at my hair and color of my hair and said, maybe you should consider getting a sippy cup. Well, those weren't his exact words, but they were close, you know. He said something like, you know, we start out with sippy cups and we get older and we end up with sippy cups. I took it that that's what he was saying, you know. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? What a delightful time to be together, share together. Please fill in the blanks here. I want to share with you some principles that, look, just write them down. Maybe you can use them along the line with someone else. Don't be afraid of plagiarism, anything I give you, because I got it from someone else probably, you know. They say that the people with the poorest memory are the most original. So I'm pretty original these days, let me tell you. My memory, you know how it is when your hair current turns this color or just falls out, one of the two. But the Lord helps us as we move along, doesn't he, in his work. It's always a delight to be with God's people and servants of the Lord, ministering in different places and seeking to serve the Lord. So this morning I want to talk with you about, you can see there by your handout, God's requirements for faithful, effective service. You know, one of the greatest burdens on our hearts today, mine in particular, but ours, all of us in general, is the tremendous lack of young men who are giving their lives for service to the Lord. Men who are willing to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Men who are willing to just desire to be in the pastorate ministry. What a wonderful ministry it is to be serving the Lord, and especially in a pastoral ministry. Many, many churches today without pastors. And you know, and I'll explain this as I go through the message, but I think one of the reasons why there is such a drought today, such a tremendous lack of godly young men to fill the pulpits in America, in the places where we are, I'm sure it's the same wherever we go, is because many, many Christian young men today lack the abilities that are absolutely necessary to serve the Lord. And I want to apply this to all of us this morning, not just to pastors or men, but you know, we have this statement that we say, "Oh, anyone can serve the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Anyone can serve the Lord." We know what we mean by that, dear friends, but the truth of the matter is, that's not a true statement. There are certain abilities necessary to serve the Lord. And if you don't have these abilities, then the lack of any one of them, and I want to mention five of them this morning, the lack of any one of these abilities can render you useless in terms of God using your life or my life. And we need to ponder this. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but we all struggle with these things. Isn't it true that we don't get any pill that gives us a spiritual healing where from then on we've got it all together? We all struggle all of our lives with these needs, these spiritual needs that we have, and God helps us to grow, and he helps us to be overcomers, and he helps us to move on in our Christian life. And so I want this message this morning to apply to all of us here. I don't know where you're at, young or old, or somewhere in between, but maybe God wants to use your life in a way that you never dreamed of, that you never thought of, that you never were aware of. Maybe God has something more for you than what you are involved in right now. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe you're exactly where God wants you, doing what he wants you to do. But listen, dear friends, this morning, there are at least five abilities that you and I must have if we are going to be effective, influential, faithful servants for the Lord. And if we lack any one of these abilities, it could render our life really almost useless to do anything for God. Let's bow together in prayer. Dear Lord, this morning we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have in being together and serving you and praying for one another. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would help me to put across verbally, Lord, the burden on my heart and the burden on all of our hearts to see, dear God, your work accomplished, and to see men and women that are willing to be more faithful and willing to do what you would have them to do in order that the needs around us would be filled. Oh, dear God, today, speak to us, we pray, according to our need. And help us to realize, dear God, today, as we often say, that we may be here because we just chose to be here. We may be here because someone invited us. But help us to realize, dear God, that we are here by divine appointment. Because you have something for us during this conference. Thank you for the messages that we've heard already, the clarity of them, the Lord, the passion of them, and pray, Lord, that you would continue to use this conference to fulfill the desire and the plan that you have for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's go in our Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, let me take a few moments and read a rather lengthy passage, but I think it's important to read the entire passage, the parable of talents. The parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. And in this passage of Scripture, we really find that surfaces, as we read it and think about it, we really find that this passage reveals to us that if we're going to be effective servants of the Lord, there are certain abilities that we must have that are so extremely important. In verse 14, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Lord, help us this morning, we pray. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a passage of Scripture we're all familiar with, and probably the greatest motivation in the lives of believers in terms of living for the Lord certainly would be, should be, hearing ultimately those words that we find that were said to 2 of these servants in verse 21 and 23, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do you want to hear those words from the Lord someday? When you stand before the Lord, do you want him looking into your face and saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Oh, we all desire that. We all desire that. But you know, dear friends, these abilities that I want to mention to you are so extremely important. Number one, the first ability that we need is accessibility. Accessibility. Simple things. Very simple things. That's why I like the words of this hymn that we Ben chose right off, because it speaks on that. When God calls in building his church, you know, dear friends, God's church is built not by half-hearted, complacent drifters in the Christian life. God's work is built by faithful men who are diligent, who are determined. I'm going to do my utmost, my best. I'm going to do all I possibly can to serve the Lord until he takes me home to glory. God's work is built by those kind of people. Not just men, but ladies as well, women that are committed and faithful to the work of God, fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given. But the first ability that you and I need that is necessary is accessibility, which simply means I am willing to listen for his voice. I'm willing to listen for his voice. You know, dear friends, there are so many Christians today that really don't care what God wants. You know, the world has never cared what God wants. But we as believers need to care what God wants, what he wants with our lives, what he wants us to do with our lives, what he wants us to be involved in. He has a plan, and we're all his servants. But faithful service begins with accessibility. Am I willing to listen for his voice? You know, I've often said to people, and I know it kind of shocks them when I say this, but, you know, hearing the word of God is not enough. You say, what kind of a radical is this guy? Good thing he didn't come in the 11 invitations he had, right? But I want to say, dear friends, I believe that with all of my heart, that just listening, just hearing the word of God is not enough. I say that because I've been too long in the ministry and seen too many people week after week after week sitting in the pew. They hear the word of God. They go out the same way as they come in. And you wonder, is this person ever going to connect the dots? Listen, dear friends, we need to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is the voice of conviction. That when we hear the word of God, it just doesn't come in one ear and out the other, but we hear it, yes, intellectually, with our mind, but we hear it with our heart. The voice of conviction. The voice of conviction. And that's what is lacking, dear friends, I think, in the lives of a lot of young men today, or women, believers, Christians, that go to church faithfully week after week. They hear the word of God expounded and preached by wonderful men, faithful men, but it makes little or no impact upon them, because all they've heard is just they've heard the word of God, but there's never been any voice of conviction that they have given heed to. They're not accessible to it, that's why. Not accessible to it. You know, dear friends, there seem to be many Christians today who never really get going for God and never get into the mainstream of service for God, serving the Lord, because they're not accessible to him. Are you accessible to God? Are you accessible to him? God simply cannot get their attention. Faithful service always begins with this ability, with accessibility. If we're not accessible to God, he can do nothing beyond that with us. We have to hear his voice through his word, by the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts, the voice of conviction. You know, God's voice through the word is the voice of conviction. That God is dealing with me. God is speaking to me. You know, dear friends, I often say, and I'd be bold enough to say it here as well, that if you come to this church week after week after week, month after month, year after year, and you never feel, and you listen to the word, but you never hear the voice of conviction about anything in your life that needs to be changed, that God wants to do, then, you know, find some other church to go to. We need desperately today to listen for God's voice, to be accessible. God simply cannot get our attention oftentimes, and faithful service always begins with accessibility. Think of Samuel in 1 Samuel. All the champions of the faith of the Old Testament and through the New Testament, their life and ministry of service that we admire, we say, I'd love to be like a Daniel. I'd love to be like the Apostle Paul. How did they get that way? I'll tell you, dear friends, they began because they had this great, wonderful ability, accessibility to God. Accessibility. In Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, he said, here am I, here am I. And God called to him out of the burning bush. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What was the one ability that these guys had that is so necessary? It's accessibility. And when God spoke his word, it was the voice of God that reached them, the voice of conviction. And they said, Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? So very important. Number one, accessibility. Are you accessible to the Lord? Do you come to church and read the Bible just to read the Word of God, or do you do so to hear the voice of God dealing with your heart and indicating what He wants you to do about this that you're hearing and reading? The second ability is availability. Now, having said just that far in the message, you could probably go through and fill all the rest of them in and go home, not stay for the rest of the sermon. But pamper me, okay? Because they're all very simple things. Availability. You know, dear friends, it is one thing to be accessible, to listen for His voice, but it's another thing to be available to obey His voice. As I am convinced that there are a lot of believers that are not even accessible to God's voice, they're not listening for God to say anything, they're not even really wanting God to say anything to them, they're not accessible to God, but there are those who are accessible. And when God speaks, they're not available. Availability is an absolute essential in the Christian life. Because when God speaks, we need to obey. We need to be available to do whatever it is He wants us to do. Now, I want you to go back to the passage of Scripture, to this parable of the talents. You notice, first of all, the accessibility. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants. And the rest of the story just indicates that they were totally accessible because they came and they listened and they did. Right? So we can presume that they were accessible. First of all, that's where it began. But secondly, we notice in verse 14, the last part of verse 14, verse 15, and it says, and he delivered unto them his goods, and unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, to every man according to the ability that he had, and straightway he took his journey. And, you know, without reading into that a lot, you can't help but understand that they were accessible to their master. And when he called, they answered, they came. But they were available because they received the talents and apparently had total availability to do, the two of them, one of the 5 talents, the 2 talents, were totally available to do whatever he wanted. Oh, dear friends, listen. That's a great ability that's lacking today in the lives of many believers, I fear. You know, I can't help but think of Abraham. Would you go back to Genesis with me just for a moment? You've all heard this said many times over, I'm sure. And you know, whenever you come into a church where they've had the gospel for many years, and especially there's a rowdy bunch of preachers that gathers together, you know, and faithful believers that come to a conference, you always feel like, I know Tom, I'm sure, feels the same way, and any of you have gone different places preaching, and probably most of you have, you always feel like you're preaching to the choir. You know, they've heard this all over and over many times, but have you thought of Abraham? Abraham illustrates this whole principle, these principles of accessibility and availability. Because it says in verse 8 of chapter 12 of Genesis, it says, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on east of Bethel, and he did two things, didn't he? He did two things." And we see that over and over again. He built an altar, and he pitched his tent. He built it. Why did he do that? Well, he built an altar to show his accessibility to God. The altar represents sacrifice and giving himself and being available to God. But pitched his tent was Abraham's, I think, illustrates for us that, "Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do." He didn't build a mansion. He didn't put his roots down. He built an altar and he pitched a tent. And you know, dear friends, isn't it true that it's so easy for us to get so attached to this world that we forget about building the altar, worship, and pitching a tent. But we get our roots down with so many things, so many material things. And somebody has said that the great danger is that we get entangled. We get entangled with one of three things, or all three. With material things, with marital relationships, with occupational responsibilities. You know, it's wonderful to be available to God. And if you want to do God's will, and if you want to serve the Lord faithfully, if you want to be a faithful, effective, influential servant for God, then listen for God's voice. Listen for God's voice. Want God to speak to you. Beg him to speak to you. Pray that he'll make his will known to you. And then be available. And let your lifestyle demonstrate availability. Let it demonstrate availability. You know, there are so many Christians, it would seem, dear friends, that it can hit any of us. So many Christians that so willingly say, "Oh, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be accessible to the Lord. And I want to be available to the Lord." But then they go on developing their lifestyle and developing their habits and their pleasures and their material investments and all of that, that gets them so strapped down financially and in every way that no matter what God asked them to do, they just wouldn't be available to do it. So availability is a very, very important thing. I know a young man, I knew him a number of years ago, a young man that he had every outward intention of serving the Lord and going to Bible school and training for the Lord's work. But he kind of settled down and didn't go immediately. And you know the story, don't you? You've seen it happen hundreds of times over. They get a job, they begin to earn money, and then they meet a girl or a guy. And then they decide, "Well, I maybe be good to build a house," and so forth. And then before you know it, these precious young people, these cream of the crop spiritually, they are so tied down with life and making a living and having things that they might have been accessible, but they're not available. Not available. And I think, dear friends, that's one of the great problems today with ministries, is that young men, if they are accessible to God, they haven't been available. Not available. But availability. Accessibility simply means that I am willing to listen for his voice. I want him to speak to me. I am approachable by God. I'm accessible. I'm alert. I'm open. I'm capable of being approached by God, and I want that to happen. But secondly, availability. I am willing to obey his voice, and I'm willing to simply build an altar and pitch my tent and show God that I love him, I worship him, I commit my life to him, I'm committed to him, and Lord, I'm going to pitch a tent, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to be sure that I'm available to do it. I'm available to do it. See, Paul warned young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth," what? "Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." No man that really warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, would you agree with me, dear friends, today that that all of our advantages and our opportunities and our privileges and all of our possibilities in this wonderful country of America militate against the work of God in the lives of Christians oftentimes because we just like so well what we have and what's happening and what we're able to produce with our own hands and we're not really available to what God would have us to do. You know, I struggle with this the same as anyone else does. And I think at one time or another we all struggle with it. I don't care how old you are, God isn't finished with you yet. We have a guy in the church in Warren that this past Monday, he had his 100th birthday, 100 years old. Like the little story of the old guy that was talking to a younger friend, and he said, "You know what, I turn 100 tomorrow." And he said, young friend said, "Well, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't want to be turning 100. He says, "Well, you will when you're 99. But you know, dear friends, God isn't done with that man yet. He's always saying, "I want to go to heaven. I long for heaven." Nothing wrong with longing for heaven. That pleases the Lord when we long for heaven. But God isn't through with him yet. God, his mind is alert. He's such a student of the Word. He reads, all these big, thick books, you know, that, you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, he's got it all together. I hesitate when he comes up and tries to talk with me about my messages or theology or anything because, he's one of those kind of guys I often say when I stand before the Lord someday, I hope I don't look down, he's standing beside me. You know people like that. We all know people like that. But that man, I want to tell you, dear friends, God isn't finished with you. I don't care how old you are, God's not done with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. You know, some of you older people, and I've heard older people say this different times, they said, "Well, you know, I gave up my Sunday school class because... you know, I'm just not anymore, you know, it's just not, I've done my share," and so forth and so on. No, listen, dear friends. We're responsible and we need to be accessible and available to God as long as he gives us breath on this earth. And if you're serving God here in the ministry or any local church as a parishioner, as a person in the pew, a deacon, or whoever you may be, you may not have an appointed position, but look, if you love God and your heart is right with God, you are a very important person in that church. I don't care how old you are. Don't forget that, dear friends. But then let's move on quickly. Number three, the third ability that we need is adaptability. I am willing to make any adjustments necessary to enable me to follow his leading. You know, you may be doing exactly what God wants you to do right now, And God may not want you to make any changes. You may be doing exactly what pleases him, and he may not have an intention that you make any changes. But listen, he may want you to make some changes. He may want you to make some changes, and they may not be to your financial advantage. They may be the opposite. But many times God puts his hand on us and calls us to make changes in our lives so that we can most effective and more effective serve him in some other area than what we're used to and what we would have ever dreamed he would call us to do. Are you adaptable? And so we find here in this passage of Scripture, verse 16 and 17, it says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents, he went, and he traded with the same, and he made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. You see, when these men, when they were accessible, and the master called, they came, And they were available because he gave them the 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent, and they took that, they received that, and they went. You know, I don't know all that that entailed in those days. We do things pretty easy today. You know, my grandchildren, they amaze me with the phones, you know. They can do it. That's the problem. You can live on the phone, right? You can live on the phone. Everything is there. And if they want to send a check to the bank, they just pop, take a little picture of the check, send it off, it's all there is to it. A lady in our bank one day, we'd have a bank that we do business with, and we went in there, you know, a couple little old people, white-haired, kind of hobbled into the bank, and the lady behind the desk, she was a relatively new, behind the counter there, accountant and a bank, and she looked at us, and it was the winter time, and we went in to make a deposit of this, that, and then she said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Philbrick, she said, you could do this check. You could just, you don't have to come in here. You could do this check over the internet. You know, you could take care of that. And we just kind of looked at it and smiled. Said, you notice the color of our hair? She said, well, then she said, he revealed really her ignorance. She said, well, just take your smartphone. And you can take a picture. I said, no, this lady just doesn't get it, you know. I have one of these old flip phones, and my grandchildren tell me, Grandpa, don't worry about where you leave that flip phone. Nobody's going to steal it on you. I don't know how it was in those days that these guys received these 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, what they had to do. But it does say, in verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents, he went, and the 2, he went also, and he went through a process, and it probably was a lot more complicated than it would be today, and it took time that they probably would have been doing something else. You know, am I reading into that? I don't think so. I mean, it's just common sense, isn't it? These guys, they went, they were willing to adapt to fulfill the requests of their master. They were adaptable. You know, the first 2 servants willingly adjusted their role, their lifestyle, in order to obey their master's orders. Geographically, perhaps financially, physically, socially, in different ways, they were willing. They were willing. Let's go to Philippians just for a few verses of scripture apart from the text. Let's go to Philippians just for a moment. And in Philippians chapter 4, I want to take just a moment to read just a few verses here. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, Paul says, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, that would be the attitude of godly Christian young people and young men and all of us today. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Whatever the Lord chooses, if he pushes me up or pulls me down. If you want, Lord, if you want to give me more or less, Lord, whatever it is, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. You know, I'm convinced that one of the greatest abilities that the Apostle Paul must have had was not only accessibility and availability, but he had adaptability. Adaptability. He was adaptable. He would go. He would do whatever. So thankful for Tom's messages on Philippians and just the precious thoughts that come out there that make you say, you know, when you listen, I know all preachers probably guilty of this, but you know, sometimes when I'm listening to really good speakers, I consider my son-in-law one of the best speakers. You know what I think of? Oh, why didn't I think of that? You know, here he is, a young guy. Why didn't I think of that? But you know, God is so good to us, and he gives us what we need, doesn't he? But adaptable, dear friends, is so important. The third servant, he went and he buried in the earth his talent. and he went back to business as usual. Listen to me, dear friends, this morning. One of the greatest wastes in the world is the difference between what you are and what you could be. If you would be totally accessible and available and adaptable to whatever it is that God wants in your life. And this guy, we're so guilty of what he does. We're so quick to condemn him and say, what a guy you are. He was a disgrace. And he was a disgraceful servant, because the unprofitable servant really means a disgrace, a disgraceful servant. But dear friends, listen, are we not a lot like that ourselves? Do we not come to services week after week, listen to message after message, and do we just go back to business as usual? Without realizing, Lord, maybe you want to make some changes in my life. Help me to be willing, Lord, to make those changes, to let you make those changes. Whether they're geographical, financial, physical, social, whatever they are, help me to be willing. We don't know what God wants to do with us, but if we yield it to the Lord. Do you do as I do? I think of Moses oftentimes in Exodus 4 at the burning bush. You know, God has placed within our hands. He's placed within our hands a lot of things, hasn't he? And you know, God said to Moses, what is that in thine hand? Let your mind wander just a little bit. Give yourself a little mental liberty here for a few minutes. You think of what Moses might have thought when the Lord said, Moses, what is that in thine hand? Moses, what did he say? Well, Lord, there's nothing in my hand. You know why he said that? Well, he said just because there was something in his hand, his shepherd's staff. And I'm just supposing this might have been his thought, that he thought, well, Lord, there's nothing in my hand. There was a staff, but you know, it was such a commonplace thing. It was something that was there all the time. He was a shepherd. So, I mean, it was so commonplace that he didn't even notice it anymore. He didn't even feel it anymore. It was just there all the time. And so he might have said, Lord, there's nothing in my hand. And the Lord said, what is that in your hand? He says, my staff. So he said, throw it on the ground. And he did, and the Lord did a miracle with it. You know, dear friends, listen. God has placed in your hand certain things. Your home, your vehicle, your food, your mental ability, your talents, your gifts. God has placed within your hand. But many of the things that God can do miracles with are not necessarily outrageous, great things that few people have in their lives, their opportunities. No, it's just simply the staff. What he's placed in your life that you kind of take for granted, that it's just there because it's a daily necessity, it's just kind of always there. Listen, dear friends, if we just turn over to God and say, Lord, I want you to take this that I have in my hand, that, you know, I don't have a lot, but this is what I do have. We don't all have the same thing, but we all have something. We can say, Lord, I want you to take this. I want you to take this and use it however you will. And it may need some change, may mean some change, it may necessitate change in your life. Are you adaptable? Are you adaptable? But the fourth ability, how are we doing so far? Well, I pray that you have all of these abilities. Talented group of people. But there are more. Number four is dependability. Oh, there's no pastor that couldn't have filled that one in. Because, you know, dear friends, our hearts ache in ministry for the lack of dependable people. People that you can trust with areas of God's work. They're dependable. It's an ability, dependability. I am willing to be faithful at the job that God gives me to do. Look at verse 19 in the passage. It says, after a long time, underline that in your Bible, after a long time, the master came. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh back. What do we, without reading into it, what can we say? Well, they were dependable. They had dependability. They just kept being faithful. Isn't it wonderful, you pastors, let me ask you this morning, isn't it wonderful when you look at the door of the church on a Sunday morning and you see people coming in, and the greatest, most wonderful thing you know, that you can possibly say about that person is, look, they're dependable. I knew they would be here. They're faithful. They've been here for so many years, and they'll be here for so many more if God gives them life, because they're dependable people. And if I give them a job to do, the job will get done. If I give them a job to do, they may not be the smartest person on the block. They may not be the most talented or gifted. But I want to tell you, dear friends, for that ability, dependability is one of the greatest abilities that God has ever given to a human being. They'll just simply be faithful. And they'll keep at it. They'll keep doing it. They'll do their best. Dependability. I am willing to be faithfully at the job that God gives me to do, with promptness, with endurance, with efficiency, with punctuality, and all the other things. The Christian life, someone has wisely said, is not a sprint. It's a marathon. The Christian life is a marathon. There are a lot of Christians, you've noticed this, there are a lot of Christians who do very well in the short. Now in Maine, we don't say short, we say shot. It means the same thing. There are many Christians today who do well in the short hop, but are useless in the long run, because they will not be dependable and faithful. You ever notice the verse in the Bible that says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, one of the most important words, if you were to pick out the most important word in that phrase, that verse, what word did you choose? Well, I think the most important word for us to really pay attention to, at least right this moment, is the word in. Why doesn't it say, moreover, it is required for stewards that a man be found faithful? No, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In other words, he's saying that before your faithfulness is seen by others and demanded by others, good stewardship and faithfulness must be something that's in you, that you demand of yourself. You know, dear friends, people who don't demand faithfulness and stewardship of themselves probably don't respond very well when others require it of them. That's why the Bible says we require stewardship of ourselves. We demand that we be faithful. We say to ourselves, even though it's difficult, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, and I may not like it at the moment, I want to be faithful, and I'm going to require stewardship of my own life. You find some people like that, and I'll tell you, dear friends, they'll be a great blessing to a ministry. Those are the ones that God will use. It is required. Good stewards require good stewardship and faithfulness of themselves, without anybody else trying to impose it upon them. Shame to say, we have allowed the devil to deceive us into thinking that in serving the Lord, after all, serving the Lord, that serving the Lord, dependability and faithfulness and consistency, they're not really that important. You know, if you're just serving the Lord, they're not really that important. Let me ask you a question this morning. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Let me ask you a question. If we treated our employer like we treat God, how long would we hold our job? If we didn't go to our job for the same reasons that we don't go to church sometimes, how long would we have that job? Oh, dear friends, sometimes people, Christians, use such frivolous excuses for not being in God's house. So we need to think about these things. Dependability is an ability that is just unbelievably important. You can't serve the Lord without it, dear friends. Did you kind of think when I started out saying that there are five abilities we must have to serve the Lord? Well, boy, I don't know. That's pretty radical. I mean, what if you have three of them? Well, ask yourself the question. Take any one of these things out if you're not dependable, if you're not adaptable, If you're not accessible, if you're not available, any one of them, it will render you useless from really effectively serving the Lord. There's one more, and probably you figured it out already. The last ability is accountability. Accountability. Because it says here in verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He reckoneth with them. You know, the word reckoneth there means to settle the account by taking it up together. It means to settle the account by taking it up together. That simply means, dear friends, in common terminology, that you and I have a date with God that we're not going to be able to miss. Because our lives, whether or not we were accessible and available and adaptable and dependable, we're going to take that up together with God someday. Notice, therefore, that to those who were accessible and available and adaptable and dependable and accountable, that sense of accountability, that I'm going to give an account of my life to God, to that person, he's going to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But to the one who dug a hole in the earth and buried his talent and just went back to business as usual, the master will say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." He could have done so much more. The call was there. The provision was there. But the potential was there. But he just went back to business as usual. So, dear friends, listen, I don't know why God laid that message on my heart to share with you today. I prayed much, "Lord, show me what you'd have me to share there in Salem." And I couldn't get away from that message. I need that message. You may need that message. The abilities. Do you have those abilities? That's up to you and me, isn't it? Dear Lord, today, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Oh, Lord, we want to do our best. We want our lives to count for the greatest, for the most that they possibly can until you take us home to glory. Dear God, whatever measure of physical ability, mental capacity, dear Lord, or number of years, time that you've desire to give us, whatever, oh dear God, may we someday stand before you, because we have been accessible, we have been available, we've been adaptable, we've been dependable, and we lived our lives with a sense of accountability. We will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us, dear God, we plead with you today, help us in that. Speak to us according to our need. In Jesus' name, amen.